Hello! If you're listening to us, you love movies. And we want to send you to your next movie.
We want you to suggest which movie we should feud next. That's it.
When we feud it, and trust us, we will feud it. We try to get to all our suggestions. The person who suggested it gets 2 free movie tickets on Book My Show.
Just message us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at Muncha Movies and let us know which movie you want us to feud.
It doesn't matter if you're listening in 2001 or 2021. Just reach out to us. And then have fun at the movies on us.
In a world filled with war, hate, suffering, and Justin Bieber.
तुमसे ना हो पाएगा.
एक दुनिया, दो यार, उनको है फिल्मों से प्यार. और एक पिक्चर बन गई दीवार.
मेरे पास माल.
दे फ्यूड. यू डिसाइड. इट्स टाइम फॉर फिल्म फ्यूड बॉलीवुड.
हेलो एंड वेलकम टू अनदर एपिसोड ऑफ फिल्म फ्यूड बॉलीवुड, द पॉडकास्ट वेयर वी डिबेट योर फेवरेट बॉलीवुड मूवीज. आई एम विदर.
एंड आई एम विक्रम.
ओह हे विक्रम, वेलकम टू द शो. Mind telling the good folk, our pleasant listeners, what we're doing here?
We are given a movie by our pleasant listeners, and we toss a coin. Heads argues for the movie, and tails argues against.
Pretty simple. And the movie we are feuding this week is none other than the 2001 Story of Friendship.
Uh-huh.
And more.
And more. Romance.
And romance. Dil chata hai.
Dil chata hai.
Pum bum. Pum bum. Quite an influential movie in our lives, if nothing else.
Oh, really?
And I think we were kind of like the sweet spot age for it, no?
No.
You're not giving me anything here, are
nope,
you? Just
nope.
Waiting, you're just hiding your thoughts. Okay, then why don't we just get to it? Why don't we toss the film feud coin and see who's feuding what?
Yeah, let's do it. So I'll be tossing the coin and heads argues for, tails argues against. Here we go. So I've gotten tails, which means I'm going to be arguing against this generation-defying movie, apparently.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I agree with you. I am arguing for the movie, and thank the Lord, this movie is amazing. I already conceded a little bit that it was really influential in at least my life. You pretended otherwise.
I knew you then. It wasn't influential.
Of course. You don't remember me sporting the Aamir Khan haircut in school, too? Everybody knows the movie is awesome. I don't even know what you're going to say.
I feel like it's going to be one of those movies we're going to rewatch after years and years and be like, oh my God.
That's true. I haven't watched it in a long time.
Same. I don't think I've watched it since like when it came out, like 2001, 2002, that time. I haven't seen it since.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm pumped to watch it again. So let's do it. Let's go watch the movie.
Tanhai, tanhai, bavere, bavere, tanhai.
How dare you pick the only bad song? Arguably not even bad song.
It's
like a filler song, but this movie has amazing music.
That one word. You shouldn't come out with that argument. That one word epitomizes the movie for me.
Tanhai.
Tanhai.
This movie is loneliness. Is that what it means?
I thought it means despair.
No, it definitely does not mean despair.
I think it means despair, and that's why I'm singing the song.
This movie has amazing songs, dude. At least, okay, I know you're not going to concede the
I'm
movie
actually,
was awesome, because you can't.
I don't know why we're doing this straight out of the bat, and I don't know how you guessed. Maybe you peeked at my notes, but that was my only thing under good, the music.
Boom. You just subconsciously projected it. You knew the movie was good. You wanted me to talk about the good music, and that's why you came out singing Tanhai.
Tanhai.
Why don't we just start off with a concession?
Okay.
You grant me the music.
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
All of it? Awesome.
Kind of. At the time, especially, like, no Bollywood movie was scored that way. So it was pretty refreshing to hear.
Game changer, man. Shankar Mahadevan. Or actually, all three of them. Shankar Hassan Loy.
Yeah.
Actually, this might be, at least for me, what put them on the map.
Breathless, dude.
Hey, fun fact.
Oh, no, never mind.
You know who directed the video for Breathless?
Oh, Farhan Akhtar?
Yeah.
That video sucked.
Let's not get distracted. The music was awesome. I remember listening to this cassette over and over. Do you remember that?
No. I mean, you listening to the cassette? Or generally the cassette?
I mean, do you remember the cassette, as in the album, what you would call now, but like the audio cassette? Every song is awesome. Even that song, like Jaane Kyun, which people don't remember as much. Jise Doonta Hoon Main Har Kahin.
I think I want to reword my concession here. I don't think the songs were that great. I just think the music composition was pretty innovative, if that applies. Because it paved the way to this whole Vishal Dadlani and like all of the modern music in Bollywood cinema right now. I think it all started like from Shankar Ehsaan Loy and specifically from Dil Chahta Hai. So I think that's what I appreciate it.
You don't get to take back any concessions.
I don't like the songs. Like, I don't like...
You don't like Dil Chahta Hai title track?
No.
The first and second... What?
I don't. I actually...
You don't like Dil Chahta Hai Kabhi Na Bite Chumkile Din?
Dil Chahta Hai Hum Hai Itne Bade Bade Chakke. Oh yeah. Dil Chahta Hai Kabhi Na Bane Itne Futu Picture. Yeah bro, great song.
I've never wanted to punch you in the face more. I've never want to punch it.
Great song, yeah. Great track. Track, brother.
You pre-prepared that shitty verse of a great song like Dil Chahta Hai. And not only that, you just like soiled the work of the great Javed Akhtar.
Get over it, dude.
Okay. So you concede the music with some caveats, including that stupid song.
Wait, what do you concede?
I don't concede jack shit, and I will...
Please concede the third act.
Well, that's the emotional peak of the movie.
Come on, dude. You know? Just concede it. I know you all do.
I am not conceding the third act. Let's just stay on the first and second act, man. It was so awesome. It made me feel like super nostalgic. This movie is pretty much the best coming-of-age movie Bollywood has to offer, I think. Especially, you know, for the target audience that it was going for, like the affluent, middle-class, upper-middle-class, urban audiences. This movie took Bollywood out of the stupid 90s shit cinema slump that it was in. Farhan Akhtar, man, the guy just came out of nowhere and knocked it out of the park. Like, never has somebody implemented their genes more thoroughly than Farhan Akhtar.
Okay.
So he just took a little bit of Javed Akhtar's genius, a little bit of Shabana Azmi's genius.
Right.
Just put it all together. Zoya Akhtar apparently helped.
Okay,
like,
calm down.
Cast
calm down.
This movie.
You're on Zoya Akhtar already. Why don't you just like, you know, like save some for like
how
later?
Can this be somebody's directorial debut? It's too good.
It's fine. It's okay.
It's too good. It's so sure-handed. And Amir Khan, man. The guy made Lagaan and this.
You're going to talk about everything?
I'm going to go on and on. Like, this
yeah, calm
is,
down, calm down. It's okay. Save some for later, man. It's a pretty long episode. Just to counter a few things that you said, okay?
Which ones are you going to counter?
You'll find out. Yeah, it's fine. It's cool. So, like, firstly, credit where credit is not due. I think this whole revitalizing Indian cinema with a breath of fresh air bullshit is very misplaced with this movie.
Oh, who do you think did it then? Qadar, which came out at the
same time. Yeah, relax, dude. Calm down. Okay. This movie is ever so slightly relatable only to like spoiled kids who grew up on nothing but like fun and girlfriends. And even to them, I don't think it's that relatable.
Or to painters?
Not really. I don't think any painter relates with this movie or Akshay Khanna.
Or to people with goatees?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the only reason people in our age group or like people like us like this movie was because of this whole aspect of fun and road trips and nightclubs and musty, which is obviously not how it is at all, right? I liked this movie when it came out because I was a kid in the seventh grade or something, right? And I was made to believe that life can remotely be like this. But as soon as I started rewatching it, 10 minutes into it, I knew it was going to be unbearable. And oh my God, I mean, I managed to stay afloat till the second act, the end of the second act, and then the third act, which I'm going to just label. I'm just going to call it Tanhai, okay? Just to like talk about it. So like, and then Tanhai started. And this movie just went the other way, dude. It's not that good of a movie. I don't know why people are still thinking that it holds up or anything like that.
Of course it holds up. I mean, the characters itself, you know, they're still actually kind of unique for Indian cinema, especially Sid, Akshay Khanna's character. But that sort of male camaraderie was not shown in a realistic fun way. I mean, fun, like grounded fun way, you know. This is not, usually it would be like the Amar Akbar Anthony vibe or I don't know other three people movies, you know, but it's almost like Three Idiots Before Its Time. Like, it just showed it in a way that actually might exist in the real world.
I mean,
know?
This whole forceful injection of youth in like the typical Bollywood Rona Dhona dramas, it's not progress for Indian cinema. It's stagnation,
of
man.
Of course, this is the same time Karan Johar was killing it. Making the kind of movies.
Karan Johar is not progress
family
either.
Family is everything.
No, just because someone else became famous doing something slightly differently doesn't necessarily have to mean it's progress. Progress is Anurag Kashyap, Dibakar Banerjee, and all of these guys who are heralding.
That came much later.
I agree. And Farhan Akhtar is still around and he can't hold his own because he's not that good of a director.
No, firstly, I think 2001, 2009 are very different times, and without these kind of movies, the Anurag Kashyaps of the world maybe would have struggled a little bit more. To have mainstream movies with non-mainstream at the time themes is progress, right? To have
I disagree. Where it's not non-mainstream themes, it just feels like it's this veneer of reality that's slapped on top of the very usual nonsensical, unrealistic stories that Bollywood cinema actually has. And I just want to talk about Farhan Akhtar a little bit more, right? Because he was given a lot of credit in terms of just reinventing modern Indian cinema, paving the way for, paving the way for people like Anurag Kashyap to come up and do what they're doing. Let's just talk about the movies he's been associated with, right? Dil Chahta Hai, Rock On, Zindagi Na Milegi Dobara, Dil Dhadakne Do, amongst others, obviously. And I just feel like his outlook toward Bollywood cinema isn't far from that of Karan Johar. And before you think I'm giving him credit, I think Karan Johar is to Bollywood cinema what Ekta Kapoor is to TV.
Okay.
And before you think I'm giving Ekta Kapoor any credit, I think Ekta Kapoor is to TV what Donald Trump is to America.
Jesus.
They're all just pulling everything back. All of the hard work, they're just pulling it back by like 50 years.
I'll grant the Karan Johar and I'll grant the, for some reason, Ekta Kapoor and Trump analogy that you threw in there. But where does Farhan Akhtar come into this? And more importantly, where does Dil Chahta Hai come into this?
I don't think that it was progress. It was progress with a fake layer.
What are you doing? You're not thinking back to 90s cinema. I mean, 90s Bollywood is just awful. It's just awful, awful, awful.
So is 2000s. It's no better, I'm saying. It only got better when these good directors came into the fore.
Like Farhan Akhtar.
No, man. Farhan Akhtar, what other movie do you genuinely like that he's directed?
Laksh.
Rock On.
Laksh.
Okay.
Haha.
And?
You didn't see that one coming, did you?
I didn't. Because I had no expectation of you remembering that movie. But apart from that.
Laksh, he didn't direct Rock On. Abhishek, whatever his name is, did.
Okay, anything else?
How does it matter?
The fact that you don't remember any other movie he's directed goes to show how good a director he is.
He directed Dawn and Dawn 2. I mean, I don't care too much about those movies.
So you remembered them while, and then you didn't say anything.
I do remember the
point
movies
proof.
Like, what does that have to do with Dil Chahta Hai? Firstly, this is his first movie. He's not even coming with the baggage of those movies. He perfectly represented the sort of youth phase that he was in. You have to at least grant, like, this movie's directed very sure-handedly, right? It's a word I used before.
Mm-hmm.
This does not come off as like a director in his 20s to actually pull something off like this, where so many narrative and stories and relationships and, you know, the amount of screen time you give to each person. By the end of it, I even felt something for Deepa, the girl who was crazily in love with Akash, Aamir Khan.
Yeah.
He actually gave her a very human moment and he used her to reflect back on Akshay Khanna because those two connected. They both eventually ended up being people who wanted someone who didn't want them back, essentially. I mean, that is some high-level stuff, man.
I understand what you're trying to say in terms of sure-handedness, right? Someone whose debut has production levels that can match those that are directed by experienced guys. I see what you're saying there. I'm pretty sure he had a lot of help along the way. He's Javed Akhtar's son. I don't know what his past was before Dil Chahta Hai, if he was an assistant director or producer here or there or not. But
okay, he wrote it. He wrote the whole movie. That's pretty cool.
That's great. I mean, I get a peek into what he thinks urban Indians live like, and it scares me a little bit.
It is a subset. It's almost like urban affluent Bombayites. It's not even Indian.
Even, I know quite a few urban affluent Bombayites and
what a name dropper.
Yeah. Well, they'll be pretty upset if they think that this is what the world thinks of them.
I think this movie is almost like the Breakfast Club of our times. You know, like the coming of age classic, multiple characters. Everybody can find someone to hold on to. Well, not everybody. Actually, you know what? I'm willing to give another concession. Not much in it for women to resonate with.
No, come on, man. Deepa and Shalini and Pooja.
So Deepa is
Deepa's the stalker chick.
The stalker chick.
Shalini
yeah.
is Preeti Zinta.
Shalini is Preeti Zinta.
Who's Akash, aka Aamir Khan's love interest.
Low, bae.
And Pooja is Saif Ali Khan's love interest. Who?
Sonali Kulkarni. Her claim to fame ended up being in that song.
Yeah. I mean, I understand all the positivity that you have for Farhan Akhtar.
If you had to choose, would you rather that he was acting or directing?
Neither.
No.
Why would I have to choose something like that?
All right, fine. Okay, but we talk about the women. I mean, maybe not much in terms of a woman-centric story, but that's fine. Like, every story can't be everything. In fact, I think once Farhan Akhtar spoke about how if he was to make a sequel, it'd be like three women instead of three guys. But I think Preeti Zinta just killing it, did a great job. I actually ended up looking into how young Preeti Zinta was in her career at the time. And do you realize she only started acting in 98? Dilse was actually her first released movie. Right around the time she had another couple of movies come out, one of them being Soldier, which was a super hit with Bobby Deol.
She also had, but she also had this movie called Kya Kehna?
Kya Kehna, yeah, where she played a pregnant teenager.
Yeah.
That was like the Juno of Bollywood, basically. Man, for like 2-3 years into her career, she'd done like a bunch of interesting roles. To have this ensemble include Aamir Khan and Preeti Zinta, who's crushing it early on in her career. I mean, how do you even pull that off? Because
he's Javed Akhtar's son.
He's Javed Akhtar's
son. Preeti Zinta was his partying buddy.
Oh, is it?
She said that, yeah. That's how they, like, he groped all of these guys in like that because of his social connections.
Firstly, I heard groped, not roped. And I was like in the Me Too mindset.
No.
But I think you're right. I did read that he literally just partied with Preeti Zinta and then it's like, I'm going to put you in a movie. But, you know, to get people like that to agree to do a bit part is pretty cool. And I think it pays off here. Dimple Kapadia, crushing it.
I mean, Dimple Kapadia is
a concession?
She's an OG, man. It's like you have Jack Nicholson in your movie. Like, can't go wrong, right?
That's true. And I actually thought Dimple Kapadia's role was by far the hardest to pull off. And she's probably the one who pulled it off the best.
And you know what makes me appreciate Dimple Kapadia's performance even like 10 times is because she was paired against that absolute nut job of an actor.
What? Akshay I was Khanna. Just about to get to the part that Akshay Khanna is the one carrying the guys.
Oh, God, bro. Ek toh, you bloody think you put an E next to your name and you become like Akshay, like, hum hai seedhe sa. You, oh my God, dude. I can't.
Firstly, hum hai seedhe sa the Akshay is Akshay Kumar, not Akshay Khanna.
That's like what he wants to achieve. So he's like, I'll put an E to my name, I'll become like seedhe sa the Akshay, and obviously he doesn't, dude.
I think anybody who adds something to their name for numerology purposes does deserve to be slapped in the face a little bit. But Akshay Khanna is the only one who deserves not to be because of this movie. This is his best role pretty much ever. He's the heart of this movie, man. He's the heart of this movie.
He's the destroyer of this movie.
He's the heart of this movie. He's
the heart of this movie, which explodes midway through the movie. How about that?
That's
and the movie dies.
No,
the movie's dead. The heart explodes, the movie's dead.
No, dude. He's expressing more through his eyes than...
Oh my God, please stop. I have something to say, okay? I can't,
what about my analogy?
I can't remember any movie of his clearly enough. So,
except Dil Chahta Hai.
Hear me out. I can't remember any movie of his clearly enough. I've never been a fan or anything like that. So going into this movie, it's not like I rated him a good or a bad actor. I was completely neutral, right? And I didn't remember too much of it because I saw it like way back when. And in hindsight, I wish I remembered him like clearer, man. It would have been less of a shock. This man has the same expression. I kid you not. He has the same expression when he's sitting next to a hospital
no,
bed
he doesn't.
Or he's in the disco. Dimple Kapadia is dying, same expression. They're in a club, same expression. He's painting someone, same expression. He's not acting.
He's not acting.
No, he's reciting dialogues. That's all he's doing.
This is the most ridiculous.
Talk
thing
about milking an expression, dude. It's not even an expression. It's just his face. It's his face and it's him reciting dialogues, right? There's a big difference there. And I don't think he realizes that. He's by far the worst example of Bollywood nepotism.
Enough.
Worst example of Bollywood nepotism.
I'm using a power card. I'm using cone of silence. You have to stay shut for the next 30 seconds because I've had enough of you b***ing about Akshay Khanna. So the time starts now.
Cone of silence.
Firstly, I can't believe you would even pick on Akshay Khanna's acting. He's like the best actor in this movie by far. He's so expressive. Nobody is ever going to agree with you that he has the same expression. I mean, Saif Ali Khan, if anything, has the same expression. Akshay Khanna is the heart of this movie. Saif Ali Khan is like the appendix. He's like the vestigial organ you could remove. Akshay Khanna is quintessentially the movie. All the emotion from this movie is driven from him. Akshay Khanna brought so much sensitivity. Showed it's okay to be sensitive, for guys to be sensitive. Showed it's okay to be the outcast, to be the introvert. And just killed it on screen. And when you compare him to something like the hey, 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 I'm so funny, the Akash guy, Aamir Khan's character, that's when you realize the maturity of Akshay Khanna's Sid.
May I speak now?
Yeah, you may, but have you learned your lesson? You can't just keep going on and on.
Why'd you use a power card on me? Why'd you get so defensive? It's just Akshay Khanna, dude. Jesus. By the way, since you spoke about Saif Ali Khan a little bit, I kind of agree with you. Obviously, he had this whole deer in the headlights look throughout the movie. But you got to give it to him. He effectively used this role to reinvent his career.
Did he?
Yeah, he was kind of like languishing here, there, and then like whatever. So like nepotism, sure. Talent, maybe. Chance per dance, 100%, dude. 100%.
Yeah, I mean, it's still talent. It's not chance per dance.
Hey, London game. Chance per dance. Hey.
That's a pretty good 90s Seth that
yeah,
you're doing.
Hey,
there.
How are you? Hey, London.
I remember he really leaned into this version of himself, which as it turns out is himself. Because then he started doing like the Humtums and, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Reinvent his career.
Actually, Kal Hona Ho.
Yeah. It's all this then.
It's all this. Yeah. In a way. But then he also did Langra Tyagi. So you got to give him that. There is talent there. I thought he did a great job, man. Because he is that sort of middle friend, you know. He's kind of in the middle of those two extremes. And in a way, probably ties the two of them together. Also, he's sort of the comic relief for the movie, which kind of works. Like, especially the first part where he has a girlfriend.
I don't know if it works or not. He is because he's that guy who's getting messed around with. But I feel like they tried really hard to make Aamir Khan the comic relief, at least in the first two acts. And it was like that templatized very like, guys, I'm going to tell you something super seriously. And then guys are listening to him because they've never heard him mess around. And then he obviously like messes around. It's just that...
He's almost like, from the movie's perspective, he's like the self-aware trying to be funny guy.
Yeah.
As in, he's not self-aware, but the movie's self-aware about the fact that he's always trying to be funny.
Yeah, I don't know, they address it. I understand why he did it and all, but it's definitely not a highlight of his career, man. The man's made some tremendous, tremendous movies, and this one, he could have just passed on, dude.
He made two in the same year. This and Lagan. This was it. He started killing it after this.
Yeah, I mean... I think just before this, the only other good movie he did was Sarfarosh, which I really liked. And
How dare you hate on Kayamat Se Kayamat Tak?
No, I'm not talking about the older comic ones, but when he started becoming a serious actor, it was Sarfarosh, maybe his acting in Ghulam a little bit, because it was like sort of out there. And then after that, it was Lagan and onwards. Everything was like almost good except for Fana. Have you seen Fana?
I have seen Fana.
Dude, he's only talking in like Dohas in the movie. It's so bloody annoying. The movie's like three and a half hours and he's only talking in Dohas.
No, I know.
Jesus, man. So like this and Fana could have been like misses. And apart from that, like glittering career. I mean, obviously he slipped with Dhoom 3s and all in the recent past, but you know what I mean?
Not really. I mean, he was annoying, but he did something. He did something with Dhoom 3.
I actually haven't seen Dhoom 3.
Okay, that's what you were saying.
My bad.
Well, I think Aamir Khan's comic relief is whatever it is. Saif Ali Khan, I thought, did a good job. And Akshay Khanna kind of is...
We're not talking about Akshay Khanna anymore,
true.
Okay?
But I think the movie... I have to say, the movie... Every movie is a product of its time, okay? And so some things in the movie were unintentionally funny. For one thing, their outfits in Koi Kahe...
the song?
The discotheque. What are they wearing? I just cracked up in a good way, man. Every movie is a product of its time.
I remember watching the movie at that time and I was like, what are they wearing?
No, that's not true. That's like,
do you remember Aamir Khan's pants?
I mean, what do you mean remember? We just watched the movie.
Yeah.
Like, Saif Ali Khan's pants.
Yeah. Who wore that?
Our bright silver.
In that time. No one wore that in that time.
No, he's like a rock star, except he's just roaming around with regular people wearing pure silver pants. Aamir Khan's a pure red and they're all leather.
Of course, without goes without saying.
Yeah, but Koi Kahe, man, what a song. How many times did you dance to that? Bigde dunya, bigne bhi do.
Zero. Absolute zero.
You just haven't lived.
And the third hack, man, I don't know where to start. I don't know what to say. I literally jumped like three emotion levels and went straight to anger. It just made me dislike the movie like three times more, right? They should have edited out this whole Aamir Khan's Australia trip, which actually brings us to our next segment, how this should have ended.
Okay, fine. I don't agree with anything you just said, but okay, let's do it.
Okay, so picture this. Akash flies to Australia, right?
Uh-huh.
He's going there to like do some business.
Business.
He meets Shalini, aka Preeti Zinta.
A.K.A. Preeti Goodenough, because that's her husband's name. Actually, she might not have changed her name. But do you know her husband's name is Gene Goodenough?
Like G-U-D-E-N-U-F-F or something like that?
No. Good enough. G-O-O-D-E-N-O-U-G-H.
Wait, did he like change it? Like, is he one of those?
No, his name is, it's like soda bottle opener wala. His name is good enough. Somebody once had sex with one of his ancestors.
And you're good
and
enough.
And christened him good enough.
Oh my God. Okay. So Akash, aka Amir Khan, flies to Australia, meets Shalini, aka Preeti Goodenough. And then, you know, like they start falling in love, that whole thing that was dragged out during the entire third act. And then I think the whole issue with the third act was this conflict in Preeti Goodenough's mind about her arranged marriage to Mr. Bodybuilder. I'm already forgetting his name.
I have no idea what Preeti Zinta's fiance's name is.
Bodybuilder.
Yeah, okay.
So like
Rohit.
Yeah. Why'd you have to ruin it for me?
Yeah.
So Preeti and Rohit, this whole thing, and then the triangle, like them not trying to figure it out. So just imagine like all of that is just ironed out. They gradually fall in love. And then Shalini breaks up with Bodybuilder. And then they start dating and then eventually get married and settle in Australia. Okay? Are you with me?
So Amir Khan and Preeti Zinta's characters, the same thing that actually happens, and they settle in Australia.
Except for the whole long drawn out of coming back to India, Shadi Rok Di, hand up. Well, like all of that gets ironed out. Like she breaks up with Bodybuilder and they get married.
Okay.
And then they settle in Australia because, you know, Amir Khan, Akash needs to focus on business and Shalini, you know, she wants to do her thing, whatever that is. I'm not even clear. And then they come back home to India for like a vacation, like in about a year or 2 years. And then, you know, they're out for a drinks with a few friends at like Kamala Mills or some shit. And then like, and then Akash notices Sid sitting a couple of tables away.
Okay.
Like head bowed, unshaven, just like, you know, slamming whiskeys and stuff. And then their eyes meet. Vidur, are you with me?
I'm with you.
Their eyes meet.
I'm just trying to avoid eye contact with you right now.
Their eyes meet. They nod. And life goes on. Yeah.
What?
Such a better ending.
You just made it all like artsy-fartsy.
Khatam, yaar.
You made it like the La La Land of endings,
khatam.
Basically. That's exactly what you did.
Khatam.
Is there also a flashback where they imagine what life would have been like if they'd actually been friends throughout?
No. Not needed.
Why? Just copy La La Land all the way if you're trying to copy it.
It's just everything in
La
that...
La La Land. La 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 Land.
Everything in that act was unnecessary. Like, this is the only thing I can think of.
I wish I hadn't used my power card already, because I would shut you up about the third act. What about the second act, man? Like, the where he's painting Dimple Kapadia and all the, like...
Dimple Kapadia is a bloody perv in this movie, okay? That's all I can say about her.
She is a bit of a cradle robber, I have to say. Because I did feel like she's leading him on a little bit. You know, she knew.
Hold on, man. Oh, she my knew. God, my bag's so heavy. Like, yeah, whatever, dude.
She knows what she's doing. She loves it. You know, she's a little too sensual than she should be. I mean, she's divorced and she's in her early 40s. What can she do?
And then she's like...
Oh, she's an alcoholic.
And she's making this poor, like, special needs kid, like, her victim and all
special
of this.
Special needs kid.
The poor guy doesn't know any better. He's just, like, painting with his brush, the same stupid expression the entire time. Obviously, he's going to get taken out for a ride, man.
When I really knew that Dimple Kapadia is, like, really working him, you know, really cradle-robbing, knowing that she's influencing this young kid into falling for her, is when she does that, like, pop psychology hokum-pokum when she looks at his paintings and just goes, like, oh, darwaza band hai, lekin koi andar aa nahi sakta. You're an introvert, you don't let people in. People get close to you, but they don't really know you. It's like basic horoscope writing, essentially. And she's just tricking a little 21-year-old kid into falling for herself.
Yeah, tricking a special needs child into all of like her jar of like...
So messed up. Don't call an introvert a special needs child.
It's not the only thing about him.
I just explained why he was a very fascinating, new, realistic character. And you're calling him a special needs child.
Yeah.
Dude, the whole painting scene. If you were watching this movie for the first time, right? And when she comes out ready to be painted... And as it turns out, she looks very nice and graceful. And she's wearing a sari.
Dimple Kapadia, legend.
Part of me expected the Titanic scene and for her to come out in a birthday suit. part of me. Or it was also reminding me from Wolf of Wall Street when Margot Robbie just goes in and goes like, oh, I'm just going to come out. And she comes out like buck naked. Little part of me was like, this would be the moment for that to happen. I knew it doesn't because I watched the movie. But it just seemed an opportune moment.
So you were hoping for it the second time as well? maybe I remembered it wrong. Maybe my child.
I'll tell you what, I definitely didn't remember that sari. So yeah. When it came out, yeah. But yeah, she's a bit of a. Her character is super fleshed out too, which is so crazy because she is an alcoholic. She's someone who alcohol has ruined her life, ruined every relationship she's ever had, and she dies from it. That is crazy stuff, and they actually showed it. And then, you know, there was this one scene when she's waiting for her daughter. you know, to show up. And she's wearing a kimono for some reason, which really freaked me out. But, you know, that scene's really powerful, man. Like, she doesn't get to see her daughter and then, you know, starts breaking shit. They actually gave real characterization to her and she killed it.
That's her birthday scene, if I'm not mistaken,
her
right?
Her birthday, yeah.
I think that's like where the movie started going downhill really fast.
You know how I want to end this feud? I'm not going to, but this is how I want to.
Okay.
I want to bit slap you so we actually kind of bit slapped Amir Khan.
Dude, we're not going to talk for, what, 5 years? Three years? I need to go to Australia then, dude. Don't do that. It's kind of expensive to do that.
So, that was this week's episode of Film Feud Bollywood. Hope you enjoyed listening. And now...
we feuded, and you get to decide who won this week's episode.
Obviously, me. I was for this classic.
Classic. All right, man. Let's let the listeners decide that. Why don't we?
Okay, fair enough. So, to cast your vote, you can hit us up on Facebook or go to our website, manchurmedia.com.
You can also tweet to us at Film Feud Bollywood. Or if you're old school, write us an email.
Or you can write us a letter or send it via pigeon. Just figure out a way for us to know who you think won the feud. And you can write into us and let us know what movie you'd like us to feud next. So don't forget to write in, guys.
And don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher,
Castbox, Pocket Casts.
Yeah, wherever you listen to your podcast, we're going to be there. And don't forget to subscribe and see you guys next week.
Bye.